Welcome to Conversations on Coast Access Radio. In this program, we have conversations with people about their interests, their lives, the things that motivate and excite them. So relax and enjoy this conversation.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of Conversations. In the studio, I have Leslie and Tony. So Leslie is a peer support worker, as is Tony, and he also has general manager status as well for an organisation called The Road Forward. And what The Road Forward is a support organisation empowering survivors of sexual harm. Welcome, Leslie and Tony.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Now, can one of you please tell me exactly what The Road Forward is?
What is it? So we are technically what is referred to as a charity. So we got charitable status in 2015.
Okay.
With that charitable status, we are funded through numerous streams to provide peer support services in the Wellington, Kapiti-Porirua and Wairarapa regions.
Okay. So how long has The Road Forward been around for? So you got charitable status in 2015. Had it existed before that?
Yes, it had. So it started, technically started in 2010. So what is that, 13 years ago.
So, and I notice in your description, your focus is primarily on adult survivors. Was that because there wasn't really a slot there for adult survivors? There was more support around younger people?
So originally what happened is the agency was males only.
Okay.
And so about 18 months ago, we became gender inclusive.
Okay.
And the reason that the agency was set up then was because there was no services for men.
Yes, I do. I think I do remember reading and hearing about your organisation before, and it was primarily for men, which is weird that there wouldn't have been a support process for men.
Well, it's funny when you look at the overall funding criteria for these services, only 9% of it throughout the country is dedicated to male survivors. The rest of it is all for primarily women. The reason that the agency started was the original founder came out of his own kind of like crisis and then needed support for his sexual harm and sexual abuse and got sent to women's crisis and women's rape. And of course, they turned around and said, sorry, you're male,
we can't actually
provide for you.
Yeah.
And so he went, well, there's nothing for men in Wellington, this, and obviously going back 13 years ago. And so he started it for men back then.
So that's a huge thing, because not only was he a survivor of this himself, but he also recognised that there needed to be more support for other people. So that's huge. So is he still actively involved with the group?
He certainly is. He sits right next to me in the office. And so even though he's handed the mantle over to me, he's still very much involved in the agency.
Yay, that's brilliant. And Leslie, so how did you come on board, or when did you come on board The Road Forward?
I came on board as a peer, actually, because The Road Forward at that stage had the ability to talk to families, whānau, and partners. And I guess that's how I came on board, just got to know the organisation and what it stood for. And about 18 months ago, I was brought on board to work with the Kapiti community.
So you knew about the organisation because of your own family connections?
Yes.
And decided that you actually wanted to do something?
Exactly. In fact, the first time I met the founder, I said, oh, I love what you're doing. I want to work with you. And I'm not sure if I actually meant it or not, but it did happen. And that was about 6 years before I actually started working with The Road Forward.
Okay, so it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when.
Yes.
Okay, so peer support. I'll come back to you again, Tony. I have a flyer in front of me that gives me quite a bit of information about it, but obviously it's so much better to hear it from the voices who are part of it. The main hinge is on building trust-based relationships between the survivor and the peer worker. So is it essential that the peer worker has been through a similar situation themselves?
So not with all peer support. There's lots of different peer support out there, but with the peer support that we provide, all of our peer workers have the lived experience of sexual harm.
Okay.
And so the premise behind that is anyone that walks into any of the branches is automatically believed and there's no questioning. And so, you know, our primary job is about creating meaningful relationships.
Yeah.
And one of the ways of doing that is a lived experience model. And so, you know, it's a really interesting thing when you're interviewing new team members to come on board. You have to kind of have that slightly awkward conversation. Do you have a lived experience of sexual harm? Because it's one of the main criteria of working in this agency.
Right.
And then we all have other levels of lived experience around sexual harm or violence or addiction or whatever the case may be. But the primary one for us, because we are a peer agency that deals with survivors, we need to have that lived experience.
Okay. So like the founder who started it, this is also an opportunity for people who have had that lived experience, who have come through the battle and who maybe feel they have something they can give back to other people.
Absolutely. And listen, one of the main criteria when we're interviewing people for positions, even though the academic side is great and you can have as many qualifications as you need, but the primary thing that we look at with anyone joining the team is what's your lived experience, but also on top of that, what's your recovery journey like?
Yeah. Okay, and that's important, isn't it? I mean, yeah. A person, because it's going to bring up for them, for the peer support person, it's going to bring up stuff for them. So they have to be at a stage where they can process their own stuff because they've got to focus on the person they're supporting.
Absolutely. And listen, there's many different ways that we support the team to provide, you know, support for them in the roles. But you're right. I mean, when you're sitting there and, you know, from the first minute you meet them right through to, you know, having years and years of work with them, you've gone through this massive big journey with the people that walk through the door. And like any relationship, it has its ups and downs and these moments, and we're all going to get triggered on certain things and not certain things. I mean, I've been telling my story forever, but I told it the other day to someone, and I just burst into tears, and I haven't cried about my story in a long time, but I had to go to supervision around that because I'm just like, oh, I'm mindful that my state has really changed around this, and I need to check in with myself. So yeah, it's an interesting journey when people come on board as a team member, because their stuff is also going to come up in the process.
Oh, for sure, but it's great that as an organisation, you recognise that and you have things in place to support those people when those things happen.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. So, Leslie, coming back to you again, you came on board through family support, family experience. What was the process for you? Like, obviously you had mentioned to the founder you were interested, but when it came to actually applying and being assessed for it, what can you give us a bit of an idea of how that actually worked?
Well, it was a little bit of an apprenticeship, really, because the year before I was asked to take part in a mixed gender group. It was a 10-week contract where I was able to help the founder create and run this 10-week pilot program. And it was really the beginning of getting mixed gender on board opposed to just the male. And so that was like a little bit of an apprenticeship, a little bit of a dip into the whole support role. However, my background has been within mental health and disability, and I have quite a bit of personal experience around it anyway, so
right.
That was all part of it. Then stepping on board into the office in Kapiti was like actually a wow moment, because I could actually make it into something really special for the people I support, and that is my driver for that office in Kapiti.
Excellent. So prior to you coming on board, was there an office in Kapiti?
No, there wasn't.
Right.
Yes.
So people, if they wanted the support, had to head into Wellington.
That's right.
Oh, brilliant. That is so cool. So how long has the office in Kapiti been open?
Since January 22. Yes.
So 18 months.
Yes.
Excellent.
And I was employed a few months before that just to get everything ready, but the office itself has been 18 months, yes.
Nice. Obviously, in these cases, quite often the person who's seeking the support may not actually be the person who the sexual harm has happened to. Some cases will be their family or partners, people who are aware that of this journey they've been on and the fact that they need some support around that. Do you also offer support to their families as well as part of the road forward? Is it just for the people who have physically had that sexual harm happen, or is it also for their extended family and support people as well?
statistically, for every person that's been sexually harmed, 11 people are impacted by it.
Wow.
And when I say impacted, it's wives, partners, husbands, children, work colleagues, the list goes on. And because of the behaviours that are often associated with survivors, there's an impact
right.
with 11 people. So to answer your question, yes, we do. I mean, it's one of the biggest things that we focus on is whānau support.
Right.
Because people are affected by it in yeah. so many different ways. We don't have specific programs for it because each whānau is different in how they want to have it all roll out. So, you know, again, it's about creating relationships with those people and then providing services that work for them.
So it's individualised?
Very much so.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we have some programs that are running constantly, but it's really interesting because people say to me, oh, who are you the boss? And I'm like, well, actually, no, our peers are the boss because everything that we do comes out of their needs, their desires and what they want us to do.
So very peer-focused. You're focused on them.
Yeah.
Another quote out of the flyer here is, the peer worker's shared lived experience creates common ground from which comes mutual trust, empowerment, empathy, hope and choice, which is pretty much what you touched on. But what you also said was it can actually make you revisit your own experience as well, which can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how that revisiting goes, I imagine.
Oh, the resilience of the peer workers. I mean, we have, with the agency, we have supervision and then we have fortnightly catch-ups and then we have a buddy system within the organisation as well to make sure that the peer workers are safe, that the peer workers are well-resourced. The amount of training that they all go on to support them in their journeys we can't not provide it because otherwise we'll have a team of people that will just be crashing and burning.
Yeah, and then that means the people that you're trying to support
aren't supported.
Yeah. So roughly how many people do you have on board as peer support workers?
Oh, there's six of us, is that correct, Leslie? So six, and listen, I could double that if I could find the right people.
Right.
And also if we had, you know, slightly more funding.
yeah, funding's always it, isn't it?
It's an interesting space, funding. I mean, our contract is essentially from Palmerston North to Wellington Central. That whole region is ours.
Wow, that's huge.
And it's huge. Like, it's quarter of the North Island, yeah. pretty much. And, of course, I don't have enough team to do what I do now. I mean, right. it's a very specific job that we do,
yeah.
and you can't put an ad on Seek saying, you know, looking for,
yeah.
you know, da 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 da, because it's just not appropriate.
So the people that you end up employing, are they normally people who approach you, or are you given names, or how do you go about finding the people?
So lots of different ways. So there are ads on Seek, funnily enough. I put things out on, you know, obviously social media, but then a lot of it's word of mouth.
Right.
And so a lot of people that I talk to, I actually just end up having conversations with them to find out whether or not they have the capacity for the role.
Right.
And then we have team members that do 10 hours a week,
yep.
right through to 40 hours a week. And so there's lots of sliding scales. And one of the things the agency tries really hard to do is because you're still a survivor.
Yes.
And so we try and be as flexible with our models as possible.
Yep.
You know, as I said, you know, we've got some team members that work 10 hours a week. Leslie, you do 30 hours a week.
That's right.
But within those frameworks, there's flexi time. Like, Leslie can ring me and be like, I need tomorrow off because I've had a really rough day yesterday,
yep.
or I need extra supervision because I've had a really rough week, or, you know, hey, I'm going to work from home today because I'm just not feeling 100%. And so they all have permission to be able to work their weeks how they need to,
right.
depending on what's been in front of them. Because, like Kapiti, like Leslie's in Kapiti, for example, and I'm primarily in the heart.
Right.
So I don't know what Leslie's been dealing with all week, but I just need her to know that, you know, it's as technically her boss, that whatever she needs to do self-care, she has my full support around
right.
that.
And that's brilliant and totally understandable in the situation and in the organisation that you work for. Obviously, you know, we're not going to talk names or anything, but since the Kapiti office has opened, has it had the impact that you thought it would have up here?
I think so. I mean, we can always use more getting our name out there. I'm doing some networking. I love the networking groups here in Kapiti. They do it really well. But getting our name out there more is really important to me. When I first started, it was about getting women on board because it was the first office that actually offered that role of with a female peer worker. That has been the biggest growth, having right. women come on board, okay. and which is fantastic. I would appeal to the men as well, that, you know, I want more men to come on board and know that we're there for them. That's an important role for me too. So I do try to go to places like Men's Shed or other places that where men are there, you know.
Gathering.
And
as men do.
Try to increase my understanding of what we do. So, and has it had the impact? I think so, yes. Yeah. We're getting known.
So other than the Road Forward, the only other organisations really on the Kapiti Coast around this kind of support are predominantly female orientated.
Mm. Female orientated or mental health orientated.
Right.
And we, even though technically we come under the mental health banner, we're not a mental health provider.
No.
Even though we probably should be. Because peer support is a very different model and is run very differently to how most mental health providers operate, and that's deliberate. It's so that you can differentiate between the two. And it's interesting, you know, with, you know, what Leslie's saying is, you know, when people are wanting to use services like ours, it can take, like, men, I believe it's 20 years before they'll disclose, and women anywhere from 9 to 15 years yeah. before they will sit in front of someone and disclose that they've been sexually harmed. And so, you know, agencies like ours, or, you know, like, and services like ours, it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Because it's not like we're offering, you know, like, services that, you know, are really yummy, or we're selling, you know, items that are, you know, everyone wants. We're going, hey, here's a nationwide pandemic with, you know, and globally as well. Do you want to come and talk about it?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Most people are like, yeah, maybe not.
And also too, part of what you were saying, Leslie, is being known that you're there. So if people on the Kapiti Coast, men in particular, are reaching that 20 years, are ready to start talking, but don't want to have to go searching to find where they would talk to somebody about it, putting your name out there and saying we're here and we're available and we're ready to listen if you're ready to talk is really important. You've got some other statistics in here. 1 in 6 males and 1 in 4 females are likely to be sexually harmed or suffer an unwanted sexual experience by the time they're 18. So that is huge. That is a huge figure. You also say that there's an even more alarming rate of sexual harm in the LGBTQA community and disability communities. Yeah, I remember reading something, an article, it was a little while ago, about the fact that a lot of, particularly in disabled communities that were in some kind of housing arrangement, a lot of that kind of stuff went on because they didn't know how to stop it and they didn't know how to ask for help. So that's a whole nother level.
It's a whole nother level. And those statistics that you've just read out there are only the ones that have been recorded.
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
as we know, there's a lot of people who aren't saying what's happened to them. So it could be, and probably is, way higher.
Way higher.
Yeah.
There's a suggestion, these are not actual facts, but there's a suggestion that 1 in 3... across the board, 1 in 3 people are being sexually harmed before the age of 16. There's no statistics for the rainbow community. There's no statistics for, you know, disability community. There's only really statistics for females, and only just recently have the statistics been added. So it was in 2019, MSA, which, you know, like, Ministry of Social Development, put statistics that included men in it.
Mm.
It's only been since 2019.
And that's no period at all. That's 4 years.
4 years, right? And so the New Zealand statistics, a lot of the stuff we take is from overseas.
Yeah.
And the New Zealand statistics is still
not even there.
It's not even there. We don't really know the numbers. We just know the numbers are incredibly high.
So the whole point of peer support is focusing on what's possible and what can be achieved together. Not just looking at what's happened and processing that, but also on how you can... Well, the peer support workers are an example of aren't you? I mean, in your living experiences, in the way you're supporting people who have suffered sexual harm, you are showing that there is a future, that there, progress can be made.
Absolutely. I mean, Leslie and I, you know, similar age, but we have completely different backgrounds, completely different experience, and completely different pathways on what we did to heal.
Yeah.
And so when someone comes in to use our services or get a peer worker, we don't just go, oh, you know, that person's available. We actually look at who's suitable, who's the right fit, you know, and, you know, we move around a lot because of that, because we can't just be in one location.
Right.
And so that's the primary thing around it. And regarding someone's actual event that happened, they're not even required to talk about it with us. I've got peers that I've been working with for a number of years, and we haven't even talked about what happened. It's just like, okay, what are we going to do moving forward? Yeah. Let's create a well-being plan. This is what I did. This is what worked for me. It might work for you. It might not. And so we're constantly talking to each other as well about what worked for you. What did you do to get a bigger picture and options for people?
Yeah. So you're utilising the knowledge of your staff and each other, as well as the people that you've worked with. How long, Leslie, on average, would you say that a person would stay with a peer support worker?
It's ongoing. It can be as long as that person wants to, needs to be with that peer support worker. And our work is not just one-to-one. It is also the wellbeing groups or what we used to call support groups. And that is another way where people can reflect and bounce ideas off each other, peers in a room talking about things, how to go forward with things. Some peers are further on in their journey than others. So that whole peer support group, wellbeing group, is an excellent way for that to people to learn coping strategies and how things are for, how things can be, how recovery can be.
So you have, so as well as the Road Forward having the individual peer support relationships with survivors, you also offer group?
That's right, okay. Yes.
And are they offered throughout the areas that you do? Yep.
Yes.
So we have three different layers of groups. So we've got educational groups, which is where you go and learn new stuff, basically new coping skills, new knowledge.
New stuff.
You know, new stuff. And then we have weekly wellbeing groups where you've learned the stuff and then you go and do it and learn it and talk about it more amongst your peers within the weekly groups. And then we have social groups where, like, let's go and take this into the lived experience, put it out there and how we're actually running day to day. And so they're very deliberately structured without actually having really that much structure, so that you learn it, you go and talk about it, and then go and live it.
Right. Okay, so you're making it as real as possible. And now I just realised as we were going through this, and we are marching through the time, I tell you, I haven't actually given anybody any of the information on how to get a hold of you guys. So you have an 0800 number and a website, and it looks like you've got a bit of social media in there as well. So the 0800 number is 0800 118 104. Does that take you to a central location?
Takes you to the person that sits directly next to me in the office. So the thing that we try and do, it doesn't happen always, but we try and have a minimum of 4 hours that someone contacts us that we will reply.
Right. You also have a website, theroadforward.org.nz. So what kind of information do people find on that?
In regards to self-referring, which is what you're talking to, basically as simple as put your name and tell me what area you're in and give me a quick message, boom, within 4 hours someone will be in response to
Right.
you.
So whether it's through the website or the 0800 number, you try and work on that 4 hour turnaround.
Yeah, and listen, they can also get through, you know, like on Facebook and Instagram. You know, I'm constantly on social media at work because people are sending messages through or sending private messages through. And we don't always get the 4 hour thing, but we try as much as possible to have a response within 4 hours.
And do you all have access to the social media, Leslie? So can you all see the messages coming in?
It all happens in the hut.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so the hut is the hub.
It is the hub. And we get messages, like, so if a support message of support need came in, I would get that message come to me and I would respond to it.
Right. So it gets centralised into the
Absolutely.
Heart, and then you pass it out to wherever, obviously, you've found out where that person is, and so you then pass it on to the appropriate person to help. So you have Leslie up here on the Kapiti Coast. Do you have a person in Porirua?
We have a silo in Porirua, so yes,
yep.
someone's there. Then we have someone in Wellington, we've got someone in Hutt, and then we've got someone in Masterton.
Okay, cool. And so there's always going to be some response, and you will get back to people. Because obviously you also appreciate having lived experience yourselves. That response is really important because you've stepped out and said, I need to talk to somebody, I need their help.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's in regards to that referral process, like anyone can come to us. So it doesn't have to come through another agency. Like, you know, you can literally just pick up the phone and you will be speaking to one of us within minutes.
Right. And that also works, as we discussed earlier in this, if you are a family member who is concerned about your partner, your child, your parent, and how they're dealing with sexual harm that's happened to them.
Yeah, so the only slight sticky bit with that is if someone rings up on behalf of someone, then we have to get consent around being able to navigate back.
Yeah, and that makes sense, but sometimes they people do need that other person to take that step for them, don't they?
Yeah.
Aside from coming in and chatting to me today, we've also got some exciting news. We are going to be doing a regular program based around the Road Forward. And also, my understanding is we're going to chat to some other agencies that you interact with, or talk about some of the other agencies that you guys interact with. Hoping to do a monthly catch-up. Yep, sounds good.
Yep.
And Tony and Leslie will definitely be involved in it, and there'll be another person as well. But what we'd like from you guys is if there's anything in particular that you would like maybe to know about and what the Road Forward can offer, you can get in touch with us through our email, office@coastaccessradio.org.nz, or jump on theroadforward.org.nz and send them a message letting them know what topics you might like them to cover or what questions you might have around what they offer as an agency.
I mean, the reason that we're doing it is because so many people don't know what's available.
Yeah.
And most people don't even know what peer support is.
Yeah.
You know, you're out in the community and you're a peer support worker and you're like, you're a what? What is that? And so what we're trying to do with doing what we're doing with the program is to actually give people information that they may not be aware of.
Yeah.
And then bring experts in so that they can be informed about what is actually out there and how easy it is to access. Because there's so much stuff out there that people can access. Problem is people don't know how to.
Yeah, that is so true. Well, thank you very much, Leslie and Tony. I really appreciate you coming in. I'm excited to have this program up and running and seeing what we can do with that. As I mentioned earlier, if you need to reach out for yourself or anybody else that you know that needs support around a sexual harm incident they may have had, you can call 0800 118 104 or you can jump on their website, theroadforward.org.nz, or look up The Road Forward on Facebook or Instagram. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Conversations on Coast Access Radio, a program where we talk with people about their lives, their passions, their interests. I'm Graham Joyce.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.